honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Portfolio Committee on Tourism, where we will be looking into the annual performance of our entity, which is FAT. I would, at this moment, hand over to the Secretariat to give us any apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to everybody. Chair, we've got one apology received for Mr. Krumbok. He's attending something outside Parliament.
Chairperson, I think the Honourable Bekwa submitted a sick leave certificate for the 3 days.
Okay, thank you. We note the apologies received. Let me also, on the onset, indicate to FAT that you might see some members that are not here. This week, all committees are deliberating on the very same process that we are deliberating on, and we have members that are also serving in other committees. And due to the lack of venues inside Parliament, others are meeting even outside Parliament. So they will join us as we are proceeding with the meeting. They are just coming out of their other meetings. Without wasting time, I would hand over to the team led by the CEO. I presume, and I would think that we now know each other so well. But we know that we have a new board. Perhaps the CEO with the board members that are here can give their introduction and then take us through the presentation.
Okay, I'll do the board part of it. The CEO will do the executive part of it. Madam Chair, thank you very much. Apologies on behalf of the new chair of the board, Pam Yako. Unfortunately, she had some prior commitments. I've been reappointed onto the board, so this is the second time I'll be meeting the committee. On my left-hand side is Mr. Enver Dumini, and he is related to the famous Dumini from cricket. And he's very shy to admit that, but I made sure he confessed that to me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I've personally, had experiences in government. I was the deputy DG of GCIS. I had a lot of experience at Durko. I was an ambassador to Oman and then after that to Abu Dhabi. And I think the process of governance that we are all trying to strengthen all the time is critical for the well-being of our country and for the better running of our government. So this exercise is not taken lightly. It's taken very seriously. And you'll see from the preparation that the executive team has made how hard they've worked in coming to this point. The issues of governance continue at one level, bedeviling our country, but it's something that I know that more and more and more of our people are realizing the importance of. As one example, my day job is at the Banking Association of South Africa. My boss there is Casper Vardy. I think some of you know him as a long-serving comrade. And on Monday, we had a conference of the banking community themed Growth and Governance. That gives you a sense of how important the issues of governance are. Naturally, the kind of standards that we set ourselves continue improving, continue being raised. We know from within the banking sector, yesterday we had one of those really gross moments when the VBS and 50 of its executives have been found wanting in a number of areas of governance. So we always need to look at how we can improve both the regulation and encourage compliance. So for us as board members who serve on this board as well as other boards, we remain constantly seized with that question. Are we ensuring the best of compliance in terms of the regulations that have been established? We obviously want to make sure that the work of the executives help occurs and happens as smoothly as possible. Because that's what regulations and compliance is also meant to do. It's not meant to become a complete obstacle in implementation. It should help you do your job better. although I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that when they have to meet higher and higher demands of compliance. But you'll see from the report that they have certainly been admitting themselves to that. So for me, it is a wonderful board to be on. I also serve on the SANEC Board of Trustees. As you can imagine, that has a different set of issues that we have to deal with. But this is one of the boards that I look forward to being part of. Its commitment to governance is equaled only by the passion it shows in delivering on its core mandate, and that is promoting tourism to South Africa and within South Africa. And I think with this, there's a growing realization amongst the key decision makers in our country and around the world that tourism plays an incredibly huge role in our society. Yeah, it's true that it's an income generator, it's a revenue generator for communities that may not even have a chance to be able to have a factory or an office in their midst, but we can do that. But more importantly, it contributes to the social cohesion of our society. It makes people feel proud of our heritage, of the kind of achievements we've had, and to be able to, as our young people said, make our country shine as such. So it's really an important area that we want to work on. And of late, you can see that key government documents and resolutions have been reaffirming that central role. When the National Planning Commission reviewed the NDP, it emphasized the huge contribution tourism can play. And this was translated again in the Job Summit. I'm sure the colleagues would have looked at the, although it's a long document of 84 pages with 70 interventions, but tourism has a big role to play. So it plays a level at the entry level. It plays its impact on all kinds of training issues. It impacts on enterprise development, and we mustn't forget, although this is outside the remit of SA Tourism, but I think it's something that the Portfolio Committee should keep in mind, that it has got a big role to play on infrastructure development as well. And so I think I would encourage colleagues here and members of the Portfolio Committee to keep the infrastructure part of the agenda high on your sights. Having been in Abu Dhabi for 5 years, I could see that the Abu Dhabi Tourism Authority was not only in charge of promoting the country, it was also in charge of increasing the infrastructure, the hotels, the resorts, etc., etc., for tourism. So with those opening words, it will be my pleasure to hand over to Sisan Chona, the CEO, and his team. I said I'll be the pretty face here, I'll do the introductions, and I'll let them do the hard work. So thank you again, Chair.
Honourable members, good afternoon, Chair. May I just check how much time do I have? 3 hours, I think, for us to present?
Chair, we've have this meeting up to 4 o'clock.
So I'll probably go then for about 30 to 45 minutes and then use the balance of the time for questions with the rest of the team. I think that would probably be more value from it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you again. I know, Chair, you said we all know each other, but I just want to acknowledge that today we have the entire executive team of SA Tourism. They don't come out often, but when they come out in big numbers from their side. So I'm just going to ask everyone, just state your name and your title, just for record purposes, everyone in the room. Just start off there.
Good afternoon, honourable members. I'm Bashni Mudeya, Chief Strategy Officer.
Good day, honourable members. Tom Bauer, CFO.
Good day, I'm Nombulelo Kuliwe, GM Finance.
Good afternoon, honourable members. I'm Amanda Kutsen-Klapo, Convention Bureau.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. I'm Daryl Erasmus, the Chief Quality Assurance Officer at the Grading Council.
That is the executive team of South African Tourism. It is missing our COO, who is actually in Australia at the moment, fighting the fight for us there to make sure we get our numbers right. This is the full team. We have one vacancy, which is a chief marketing officer, and together with the board, we've undertaken to have that appointment done by the end of November this year, basically. So it's such an important space. Once we have the CMO on board, this is a full team that's actually taking South African tourism forward. Thank you again. The annual report is almost like a report card, you know, where essentially we talk about two things, the finances on one side, and obviously the performance based on those finances from the perspective. Just to take from what the board member Abba had said in terms of governance, it's such an important part. And this year, as an example, to give you a sense that we are very proud, as I say, tourism, to have an unqualified audit. And it's such a big thing. And I know typically when I joined, you know, as a tourism in the beginning, it was like, why are these people celebrating, you know, unqualified audit? It should be the norm. But once you understand the rigor that these go through, basically, it is an achievement from that perspective. However, I must highlight that the difference from this year, from previous years, although it's unqualified, we have two findings that I'd like to just spend a moment and kind of talk about in detail as to where we're at. We have a total budget of 1.4 billion rand. We've got two findings on irregular expenditure for 4.1 million rand. That is actually 0.3% rather of our total budget, to kind of give you a sense from that perspective. The irregular expenditures are in two parts. The first one is 1.7 million rand fraud case internally from staff. We, as an exco team, measure and monitor risk on a monthly basis. And as part of our risk strategy, we picked up that there were two members who were colluding on codes, as an example. We identified it as a team. We immediately placed the two people in suspicion, and we did an investigation, basically, from that side. And although the case was finalized after the financial year end, you know, the two employees have since been dismissed. They appealed to the CCMA. The CCMA actually upheld the dismissal from that perspective there. The next step that we will do now as an executive team is to take the matter basically to board for condonement. We can only do condonement after the matter has been finalized. Hence, it appears in our financials of 1.7 million. The other matter of 2.4 million actually relates to an incident 5 years ago. And the board, together with myself, took a decision that we can't keep on rolling this on. At some stage, we've got to close it off. And it is really about a tender that was issued, what we call scope creep, that actually was beyond the 15% parameters that were there. The problem with it took so long to actually conclude that actually two of the staff members who were involved did no longer work for SA Tourism. And we just felt that, you know what, we're just delaying this whole process. Where are we with that one? We finalized it. Although it was from 5 years ago, it gets recorded in the year that is finalized in. And we've taken disciplinary action against the staff members that are inside the organization, and from that perspective, we are quite comfortable that we've got matters in place. To give you a sense, you would know, is that we run an operation across 11 jurisdictions, 11 different currencies, 11 different laws, and to keep all these tenders as per PFMA is concerned is actually quite a startling achievement that the team drives through. The CFO, as an example, in the 2017-18 year, took treasury on a global tour of all of our offices, so that they could have conversations with the teams over there, so they understand why and how to operate, especially on the supply chain issues, to make sure that we get that perspective from the perspective. So we are absolutely thrilled that we have an unqualified audit, but we also take note, we like clean audits. We are very proud of those. We want to make sure that we maintain them. But I think what is comforting, we know exactly what went wrong, when we've done action, and we make sure that it doesn't come through on that side. The other concern from the just the governance perspective was that part of the commentary, interaction with the Auditor General, they also noticed a general regression in finance, right? And initially that gets my attention and say, oh, what's going on here? And, you know, sometimes words are used and not actually seeing what comes through on that side. Two things are important. I think with all of that what's been happening in the last 2 years, the standards of auditing have risen. What was acceptable 2, 3, 4 years ago is no longer acceptable today. We have an issue around JMAs, which the Auditor General has brought to our attention. JMAs are joint marketing agreements. These are agreements essentially that we enter in country with trade in order for them to partner with us towards a common objective of driving numbers to the country. Key things there, though, that were highlighted by the AG was that, well, the JMAs are fine, the contracts are fine. However, the items that you stipulated in the contracts are no longer able to be verified. And what basically happened there is we would say we are entering into a JMA with Rennies and we will bring 1,000 tourists through. We actually stipulate that the names of the tourists will be included as part of the evidence. The problem with that one is that POPI Acts of foreign countries are much more stricter than our countries. So the privacy laws actually forbid us, forbid our partners from giving us those names. Now, you must ask yourself then, we kind of snook at ourselves. We are the ones who put in these terms into those contracts, but yet at the same time, we have not caught up with some of the privacy laws over there. What have we done? As soon as this was brought to our attention, we put an immediate moratorium on JMAs. However, JMAs are such an important tool in our business that says, well, how do we put in interim measures in place that allows business to continue but addresses the flaws that the AG had actually identified? So I'm very pleased to kind of give honorable members a sense that it is a risk, we have identified it, and there is a separate session that's been set through to actually go into detail around our JMA framework, what we do and everything else from the perspective. So I think with those elements, these are the things, I suppose, from a governance perspective that keep me, the CEO, up at night in terms of making sure we keep a clean book. At the same time, we've got to deliver and execute on our key mandate there. So with that kind of framework, I'm now going to take you through a couple of slides. There's 35 slides here, but I will not be going through all of them at the same pace. Some are paused, some are both quickly, some are just for context. The first slide really talks about where the world of tourism is actually operating. I always tell people that we don't operate in a vacuum, but where is the world numbers going through? The world of tourism in 2017 grew by 7%. There are now 1.3 billion international arrivals every year. This slide just kind of gives you the sense of the market share of tourism globally. As Africa, we only have 5% market share, right? That is 54 countries with over a billion people only getting 5% market share. Compare that with the Middle East as an example. That's probably where we sit in. So it just gives you a sense how much more we could do as a continent to get through from that perspective. Next slide gives you a sense now, what about South Africa's performance? How did we do, and where did our growth or lack of growth come from? This is basically a heat map that gives you an idea of where we're at. We grew our numbers in 2017-18 by 2.4% up from 2016. We all know 2016 was a bumper year where we had 13% growth, we hit a magical 10 million international arrivals, and in there we actually grew 2.4%. Just some key markets to identify. North America, 7.8% up. Very happy with that performance. Europe, 7.6% up, despite, by the way, our biggest market, the UK, being flat at 0%. So there's some good growth that actually came through on that side. The story of South America still continues, where you're looking at 59% growth from that market. Off a lower base, but it just gives you a sense what airline connectivity does to a destination. It stimulates it fundamentally. Because what actually happened there is that SAA had the monopoly on that route, but until a low-cost Brazilian airline came through, then the numbers started to kick through on that side there. Our pressure point was the continent of Africa. You all know that Africa is 76% of our arrivals. And when 76% of your arrivals only grows at 0.8%, it impacts everyone from there. And I'm sorry, you've probably heard me say this before, but Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Lesotho combined are 50% of our rivals. So when those markets take a cough, the whole thing shakes, basically. So we tend to segment it and look in different pieces there. Asia is a problem and is a worry for us, because in Asia, you've got those two big countries there, China and basically India. We are regressing in China, and I'm happy to talk about some more later on in the presentation. And in India, we only went up by 1%. So therefore, we've got to really focus and make sure that we get some of the performances there. China is the world's largest source market. Everyone is winning from China. The rules are being relaxed quite a lot from China in many of those environments. But we've got some barriers that we have to look at from that perspective. The Australia story, New Zealand story, you would know that you know, we are also dragging along there, 4% and 1.4% respectively there. But overall, honorable members, 2.4% up is a respectful growth. However, it is behind the 5-in-5 curve that we set for ourselves. Now, the thing with 5-in-5 is the 5-year plan, that when we miss it in year one, the amount that we miss by rolls over to the next year, so therefore we have to catch up, so it doesn't press reset every single year. But we are very encouraged by some of the positive immigration reforms that we've seen happening around that will actually give us quite key momentum there. There are four things I want to bring to your attention that keep on coming through from all of the regions as what we call these barriers that are forever hovering around South Africa. The first one is safety and security. This one is continuing. It is the pink elephant in the room, and wherever you speak to tourists, they may know South Africa, but their initial reaction, are we going to be safe and everything else from that perspective. I think also as well is our latest crime statistics just did not help the situation. The international media, unfortunately, looks for sound bites. And the soundbite that's being repeated over and over again is that we are in a war zone. You know, that was the minister's words, the police minister's words, that has been repeated over and over again. So that becomes something that we have to really look at and address that one. The water issue still has not gone away, right? Because when there was a drought here in Cape Town, it made front page news and international media. When the dams are 70% full, it doesn't get the coverage. So therefore, there's a bit of a sense, is the water. And unfortunately, the world looks at South Africa through the lens, through the tourism lens of Cape Town. If Cape Town is fine, the rest of the country is fine. If not, you know, it's in a strange place there. The third one is wildlife, animal interaction. This is something that is coming through. We are gaining a bit of a reputation as not being on the right side of conservation when it comes to animal interaction. This is the sense of canned lion hunting, where lions are bred solely for the view of being hunted. And, you know, when people can buy lion bones, as an example, it becomes an issue from a perceptual, from a tourism perspective. Because today's tourist is no longer just looking to travel to a beautiful place, but they want to immerse themselves. And they also want to make sure that their tourism dollars or euros go towards a positive cause from that side. Then the last one, that is becoming an issue, especially in the Convention Bureau space, is land expropriation without compensation. It's especially in Australia, it's coming through quite loudly now that will we have a convention center in 5 years' time, as an example. And these are all the things that are making bigger news outside of our country than inside of the country, and the context we find sometimes is not really there. We are working very closely with Brand SA in terms of common messaging. We're working very closely with DECO to make sure that also comes through. But I'm also very proud to announce as well that South African Tourism, together with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, are actually engaging on a global roadshow where business and government are going to be side by side to address these four key barriers and what the country is basically doing around them on that side. Okay. That becomes context and for a lot of the performance and some of the numbers that you see and some of the explanations there. The next slide talks to domestic tourism performance. I don't necessarily think this is a surprise, but this is something that actually is worrying us. It's regressing, and it's regressing faster than we can plug. There's a lot of things going on. The first one becomes your fuel price. And tourism is about mobility. And in mobility and movement itself is a fuel price in one form or the other. Whether you're going by aeroplane, by train, by bus, by car, whatever it is, requires some form of fuel from that perspective. The fact that we are also regressing from a recession perspective also adds woes onto this. But this said, however, we believe we are actually doing a lot of campaigns to make sure that those that are traveling, those that can afford to travel, are actually continuing to travel as well. You know, when the exchange rate is what it is at the moment, I think the dollar is 1 to 15, It works well for international visitors coming into the country because now we are much more affordable from that side. It also acts as a deterrent for those South Africans who typically travel overseas. They will want to stay in the country because now suddenly things are 20% more expensive than they used to be on that side. So we really want to make sure that we can steer some of these coming through there. VFR is our biggest drop, visiting friends and relatives. You get a sense that, you know, those people are not necessarily staying over at a paid for destination or accommodation, but they're traveling less. There are less reasons, there are less opportunities for people to actually travel from one place to the other there. The holiday portion is surprisingly positive, and I'll tell you why. Because in there, this is where people travel for the sole case of actually going on holiday. This is where you start to see the disparities in income distribution in this country, you know, sitting on that side, that those that can afford are actually doing a lot more domestic tourism than not. The problem we have is the numbers are small relative to the others who fall outside of the have-nots there. Business, again, a sentiment that you probably see around business movement, how people are actually using more technology, as an example, to interact and to do business. I mean, SA Tourism is one case in point. We don't bring out the entire Exco at every parliamentary meeting, but only for the annual report one, because we're also trying to save costs and make sure that we're minimizing that side. The next slide is basically the star of the show, which is the business event side. This is one space that is led by our convention bureau's chief convention bureau's officer. Really a space that, as a country, we're starting to gain some positive traction and reputation as being the destination for business events. 206 international and regional meeting conferences were hosted in 2017. 91,000 number of delegates came to the country basically conferences. 2.2 billion rands estimated economic impact. We all know that people who travel business events basically spend more than actually leisure tourists. Also, secondly as well, there's opportunity to convert them into also leisure tourists from the perspective there. We actually made 94 bids for MICE activities across the board. Again, we are competing with world you know, destinations for this. So this is one space that you are really kind of focused, and we are also thankful to the Treasury and NDT for giving us supported funding into this space to make sure we can get to the numbers that we can do there. Now, also important to note that business events is a subset of 5 in 5. So if we're not able to make up the numbers on leisure tourism, as an example, we'd look to this space to say, how do we make sure that we can bulk acquire more people to contribute towards our 5 in 5 targets? So that is quite positive from that side there. The next one, I'm going to go to the grading and quality assurance, slide 6 there. And we thought we'd give you a bit of a graphical presentation of where the movement or where the activity lies, split per province, but also split per category as well. Because we tend to sometimes just look at one global number, but we don't understand what lies beneath that global number as well. So there's everything there from category in terms of bed and breakfast, country house, game lodge, guest houses, nature reserves in there. But you can also see where the major focus, or rather contributors, in terms of the numbers that we have in the grading space. This is a space that's also we've been looking at in terms of how do we revive and make sure that the criteria, the elements, the value proposition around it is actually relevant for the times that we are in as well. Daryl, who's our Chief Quality Assurance Officer, will at a later stage talk to you a little bit more about some of the strategies that we are putting in place here. We are also waiting, and I believe it's imminent, for the new grading criteria that need just the minister's signature in order for us to roll that out. Because grading has moved on. As an example, some establishments, we required a TV in a room as something that, you know, needs as a requirement for grading. But we all know that actually people pay a lot of money to go to places where there's no TV. So the TV is no longer relevant, as an example. We have what we call apartment hotels now. Neither a hotel, neither an apartment, but a combination of the two. So therefore, we have to upgrade our criteria to make sure that we can actually grade and see some of those as well. The next couple of slides are really just about regional views as to some of the granular activities, and we wanted to give honorable members a sense of what is happening in each country, where is some of the funding and the budget going into, and where are performances on each one there. So Australia talked about we are 1.4% up on last year, Asia Pacific 3% down there. The stars, again, are the North and South America for us, which has come through quite strongly as per slide there, number 9. There's a growing market that we're identifying in there, which is the black African American. We call them black. Okay, African American market, Afro American market. That we are really going quite fundamentally to make sure that we can target them as South Africa's destination to go to. We are using and continue to use the Mandela Centenary as a motivation to bring people through. We are continuing to use also Albertina Sisulu Centenary as also reasons for people to come to the country and really experience the culture and also the environment on that side there. North Europe, slide 10, is a very competitive space. We found that UK is actually almost messing us up. We need to decide what it's doing around Brexit, because at the moment we're sitting in a bit of a lull, neither moving forward nor moving backwards. But it's our biggest market outside of the continent. It continues to give us good numbers, but we just want to make sure that the growth comes through quite strongly on that side. I think, again, with the rand weakening, and I know as a rule we should never ever run a business on things we can't control, and the currency is one of them. But we'll take full advantage of it, basically, when it's pointing the right way, to make sure that we can get people coming through positively on that side there. The UK, as I said earlier on, is a bit flat, but we're also looking at doing quite fundamental marketing there, and then tactically, from the ground up, with our JMM partners, to deliver the numbers that are there. South Europe is also going also quite nicely there, with France giving a strong performance, and make sure that we continue that side there. West Africa, Nigeria is really a big market in West Africa. Ghana is actually doing quite well in double-digit growth, but it's over a lower base. The visa issues in Nigeria are really, really letting us down. And it's not so much a case of the visas being required, but just the time it takes to process it, the certainty, you know, around it becomes a big issue. And this is something, obviously, that we are communicating through to DDG Anime, actually, who's right here, who champions this for us, together with Home Affairs, to make sure that let's be predictable, let's also have almost like an SLA, that within 4 or 5 days, you know you can get your visas around and everything else there. I'm sure a lot has been said around visas, and we really welcome, as I said, some of these reforms that we've seen around immigration issues there on that side. The rest of the continent is actually coming through quite nicely post the financial year there. We are strategically looking at markets, that are like the Zimbabweans, the Mozambiques, who add big numbers to us. And the announcement that all of SADC actually will not need visas, except for the DRC, is actually going to give us some nice impetus to make sure that we can deliver on that one. To give you a bit of a sense, honorable members, Angola post visas being waived is actually growing at 39% year on year compared to last year. I mean, that in itself is actually quite phenomenal. DRC, in spite of visa challenges, a new airline started flying between South Africa and the DRC, a DRC national airline. We've seen the numbers also go up by double-digit growth. So again, it gives you a sense of those two-pronged things. Get the immigration right and execute the airline connectivity right, then you start to see some of the numbers coming through there. I'm sure some of these will come through in the questions afterwards, but what are some of the key issues impacting our performance? I've touched on many of them, and I'm happy to take questions together with the team as to how we can come around some of the things. Now, let's look at the actual APPs and the performance relative to those APPs. Just to remind everyone, I'm on slide 17. This is basically how we cascade up our APP environment. Our strategic goals are to increase tourism sector contribution to inclusive growth, and achieve operational efficiency and good governance. We achieve this through these six strategic objectives that ultimately get driven by the programs. The programs are split into five, and ultimately they also have KPIs, and we've got 17, 18. We've got 33 KPIs. And the things with KPIs is all 33 have same weighting, so it's not as if one is more important than the other. And that's what we report on. Slides 18 and 19 is actually literally a test summary in terms of how we've done on the exam of our 33 KPIs. Out of these, we've actually achieved 66% of the KPIs themselves that have been put through to us. The green ones is actually an indication of ones that we've achieved those targets. The blue ones also came through for some of the feedback that we got from this committee to say, well, if you are 90 to 90%, 99% there, tell us so that we can know that actually when you say not achieved, it's not as if it's not at all within the ballpark figure, but it's just a matter of quite close. You know, so the blue ones are where we've not achieved, but we're between 90 to 99% of the target. Then the rest of the red ones basically are below the 90% there. Just to touch on the red ones, to give you a bit of a sense, staff satisfaction score. This is an area that we monitor right across the board. All of us as executives, in our own personal KPIs, we also have our own staff satisfaction score. We've got to make sure that SA Tourism staff is engaged and is also able to deliver on its mandate and are empowered to make decisions. That's something we are always looking at all the time and make sure that we can drive it from that perspective there. The next one is on the business enablement side, stakeholder satisfaction score. This is where basically the industry rates us in terms of how are we performing and how are we relevant in the world over there. We are making progress. We are also making significant progress in this regard. We are constantly engaging with the industry, making sure we provide them information, but through forums such as the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, we are actually on top of mind on that side. The leisure tourism side 3 there is where we were down on the number of international tourist arrivals. 5 and 5 actually had us projected at 6.5% growth. We needed to achieve 6.5% growth in order to reach our target of 5 and 5. We achieved 2.4% growth, and I think that's where the gap is. What's encouraging, however, is that we know exactly where which markets let us down, and this was this Africa market. Essentially, those three countries of Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and actually Lesotho. You turn those around, those numbers look fundamentally different on that side. What was surprising, however, is that typically the number of tourist arrivals is correlated to the spend. So one of two things happen. You know, where the tourists are actually international tourists, although the number is fewer, they're spending longer in the country, number of days average, so they get to spend more, which is actually quite encouraging. It goes quite nicely with our drive around two things. One was geographic spread, making sure that tourism impact is not only in the big four, big five provinces, but happens right across the nine provinces. It is an APP that we track, and we're doing quite well in terms of getting one there. The second one becomes seasonality. I'm sure in the commentary you would have seen around lack of stock, especially in popular destinations such as Kruger and in Cape Town. The problem becomes there is that, you know, it's the seasonality becomes a very constricting thing because everyone wants to go to Cape Town and Kruger in December. And at those times, there just is no stock, as an example. So therefore, how do you sequence this out to make sure that you spread this throughout the year and make sure that tourism happens from every angle there? So it's also about bringing new stock, but the problem with new stock is that you want to bring in new accommodation, but it can't only fill up in December. It's got to fill up for the 12 months of the year from that side. Number of domestic trips, I've talked about that one, around the pressure that we have there, and related to that one is total domestic spend on the domestic trips. That's something we are really looking at, and we've launched a couple of campaigns. The short left at Travel Week, very first time we did it from the 24th to the 31st of September, where we invited trade to come in and saying, how do we promote tourism and make sure that we can have affordable pricing and everything else there. We are still awaiting the results, but just to give you some preliminary evidence there, is that if you, our website, our short-lived website, in 2017 had 25,000 visits for that month. In 2018, for the exact same month, once we had this tourism week, they had 153,000 hits. That is 512% up from previous year. Again, gives you a bit of a sense that we've drawn attention for people to be curious to go to the site, to explore deals over there. I'll be very happy when we get the final numbers coming through, how many deals are done, where, which areas basically, and the cost and everything else from that side. So that is certainly encouraging from our side. So again, despite the tough financial environment, despite the high fuel prices, we are making headway to make sure that tourism, domestic tourism, is not forgotten from that side. Program 4 is business events. It's all green there in terms of us being able to achieve our numbers and targets from that side. And number 5 then is tourist experience, which is a grading aspect of it. Number of great accommodation establishments, we did not meet our targets, and we'll talk more about that one. And the number of graded rooms, which is interlinked basically with that target from that side. And I think that's a sense of our scorecard report, if I can give you that. We are on point, we are aware where we are slipping behind, we are addressing, and the good thing about it, if I can put it that way, is that we are not in this alone. We are taking the tourism private sector industry with us. 5 in 5 is not just for us at SA Tourism, but it's also for the trade. So whatever impacts us and affects us, we get together and saying, how do we start to circumvent it? The global roadshows around those key forbearers is an example, where we as SA Tourism have put in 50% of the funding, and the private sector has also put in 50% of the funding to make sure we can run these campaigns globally and make sure those are fully funded and executed in that regard. We also, as an example, are partnering with Westgrow on the water campaign globally as well to make sure that we can inform and update the world where we are at in terms of the water side. The next couple of slides are really a detailed explanation of each APP, pay line item. We show there what the target was, we show there what it should be, and we also give an explanation to give the committee confidence, honorable members, that we are aware, but more importantly, we are doing something about it and deploying resources so that we can start to see a change from that side. I think the areas that I'd like to bring you through is that really kind of we've been looking at is obviously domestic tourism. Domestic tourism, you know, is really an area that we are all focusing on. We've got initiatives. I hope you've seen not only in Cape Town but in your home provinces around airports, not only airports, taxi ranks, around our campaigns around short lift. You know, it's your country, enjoy it. And these are just some of the initiatives to saying we want to give South Africans permission to explore their country, and we look forward to that impact. And when you look at the December numbers, I think we'll be pleasantly surprised by what we are able to see coming through on that side. The We Do Tourism campaign is also important, and this is really building the spirit of every single South African to make sure that they understand that they contribute towards tourism, whether as a host or just as a South African that can actually be friendly and support domestic tourism and also international tourism on that side. Grading, as I said, we'll talk through on that side, but again, we've got specific strategies that also have a youth employment linkage to it that we are quite excited. I think we roll these out, we'll start to see some of these activities coming through. Our number of international platforms, we are adamant that at all times we make space for at least 10 SMEs on each platform, whether it's IMEX, WTM, ITB, or any other. These are new players. These new players bring in new experiences and start to help us to deliver on some of the activities there. I'm now going to hand over to our CFO just to take us through some of the numbers side, on the financial side, and then I will end up talking some of the governance, human capital, and any other stuff. We've decided that the ExCo members will do the hard stuff. They will all answer your questions, and they will come in just for space time. Over to you.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable members, there's two slides from the finance side. I think the detail is in the annual report. All the detail has been audited, as we indicated, and each single amount has been audited in the financial statements. So if I look at the revenue side, the first revenue is the government grants, which we have received. We have received 1.1 billion rand from the NDT, and that money has been received from the NDT. The voluntary TOMSA levies is 116 million rand. I must indicate that 15% of that amount is for a collaborative fund. The collaborative fund is which the industry then with us are then having projects, like the WaterWise project was one of that projects where the industry support us in terms of that. So all of that money has not been used, and we have transferred some of the money back to the TOMSA board. Sundry income, the biggest amount, those 74 million rand we've received. The biggest is the revenue that we received from Indaba and Meetings Africa. So that's a big revenue stream to South African tourism. Grading revenue is the money that the assessors are collecting in terms of the grading establishments, which is 20.6 million rand that we have received from the grading environment. Interest received is 27.5 million rand. I think I repeat it every year. All the money that we receive from the government, the upfront money that we put into the countries, just to mitigate the risk of currency exposures. We in the past 5 years, we were very, 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 very lucky not to have bad currencies when we transfer funds to the different countries. I must say, we have done an exercise 2 months later, and the currency loss was 34 million rand if we have transferred in June this year. So I must say, the support that we get from the different the countries are helping us quite a lot. What I want to say in terms of the interest is that in the foreign countries, there's no interest rates, very, very, very low. Some of them are less than 1%, and I think America is at 2%. It just goes up to 2%. So we do not earn revenue interest from that country, but we gain the mitigate the risk of currency exposures in the different countries. Gains and disposals of assets. This was the gain that we have received in terms of the disposal of the asset. I have reported that previously. The asset that we had, the residential area in the Netherlands, which we have sold, that has been sold now, and the gain that we have made was 1 million rand on that asset that we have disposed of. Honourable members, if I go to the expenditure side, I think the right hand, the right three columns, the right hand columns of the page on page 34, the budget. This budget has been approved by the ENE, so we cannot deviate from the ENE budget. So that's the amount that we've received from government, the different programs. That's also reflected in the different programs. So if one go to the corporate support, the overspend looks like an overspend, but it's not an overspend, it's more the depreciation of assets across the world and South African tourism and at home. So that is a non-cash item, so it looks like a overspend. I must also brought to the attention that when we do budgets, we do it in cash accounting. That's a requirement from the National Treasury. When we do expenditure, we do it in accrual accounting. So there will always be a disjuncture in terms of the two principles we apply. If I go to the business enablement, it was an underspend of 20 million rand. The underspend was for two tenders which was a timing issue. We could not get the tenders awarded within time, and that rolled over to the new financial year. Leisure tourism is a huge budget of 9.5 billion, million rand, 925 million rand. And there was also under expenditure of 3.2 million rand. Business events, it looks like it's a huge underspending, but I must say how we work in terms of the business events is that when Amanda do bids for different events, she does it over many years. So some of the bids are in 2023 or 2025. So what we have agreed with the Treasury also is that if we sign a contract, that contract will then be seen as a commitment. So it looks like the money has not been spent. The money will be spent in that year, but we need to commit that amount for that year. So it's not that we overspend the money, but it's kind of the commitments that we reflect. There's also amount included in that amount is the 9.8 million rand that we've received for the GEMS to support the GEMS in terms of the different platforms at Indaba and in Meetings Africa. If I go to tourist experience, the tourist experience also looks like that they've underspent. The reason for the one of the reasons of these two reasons for the underspent look like the underspent is that there was tourism incentive program money that we've received to support the grading council. Some of that money was not spent, so the money was in terms of the MOU with the NDT, that money could be retained. So that money is with us, and as the CEO has reported, that money is getting kind of, there's gain in that money that we progress in spending the money as we speak now. Then also, there was all the other ones, also the criteria has not been approved, so the Chief Quality Assurance Officer had some campaigns that he had to do, and that campaigns couldn't happen because the criteria was not approved at the moment. So what we do with that money in any event is that we do reallocation so that we don't have kind of a surplus money which we have then which we might lose from a national treasury. So the reallocations is not reflected in here, but I can assure the members that we are on track with the expenditure. This is a matter of interest also, I think, to give some perspective. 75% of our budget went to marketing, as much more than the previous years. 14% to personnel, and in total 25% was for overheads that we have covered in our in South African tourism. So I think it's quite a good ratio. The ratio what we tried to achieve is 50-70-30, but this year was 75-25. So I think we have done quite well in terms of that. Honourable members, I think that's my slides in terms of the revenue and expenditure.
Thank you, CFO. Slide 36 then, 37, just kind of looks at the human capital side. You're all aware of Project Ignite, and we are now actually firstly putting people and onboarding people on the bus from that side. As of March 2018, we had 175 people at SA Tourism, but I can tell you right now, as we said, 6-7 months later, we've got new appointments that are coming through all the time. So quite comfortable that we'll have full staff complement by the target that we had set for ourselves. We've got some key appointments to make as well, which is the CMO, which I've spoken to that one on that side. And you'll also be happy to know that we've also onboarded something like 15 interns into the organization. These are young graduates who are coming through the organization, and we're exposing them on a two-year program of SA Tourism. And, you know, so heartening to see young people who actually start their careers in some space there. We had a conference where we took two of them to actually Port Elizabeth, and they were in an aeroplane for the very first time. You know, it's amazing. You take it for granted, just get there, but just to see someone, and it's special. I think that's the main thing, but very encouraged by that as well. Then on the governance side, really just talking through about our board, who is actually the authority from our side. This is the previous board list. A lot of the members are actually no longer in the new board, and some of the board members, such as the Honourable Abba and Enver, come through for continuity into the new board as well. But there are no particular issues that we are picking up from that side, and as I said, is we go on from strength to strength. Honourable members, I'm going to hold on there and open up for questions. But I think just to close off, the annual report, you know, should not really come as a surprise, but rather as a build-up from these quarterly updates that we've been giving you, and consolidation of everything there. There's always room to perform, always room to better. But I give you, and I want to give you confidence that with this team, we can actually deliver the mandate and what the country expects of us to deliver and contribute as tourism in South Africa. Thank you very much, and we'll take some questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO and your team. Honourable members, the presentation is upon us. I would note hands to interact. I note Honourable Adams, followed by Honourable Bam Mugwanya. In that sequence.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the CEO for the presentation and the CFO. Chairperson, I'd like to start with questions on slide 18. The high-level summary of the performance. And the one on the corporate support, the one on staff satisfaction score. Now I know you explained it on slide 21. And it couples with your project Ignite. Now, are you satisfied at this moment that the staff satisfaction score has climbed? Because you know your human capital is one of your most important assets. And the fact that there is a vacancy with regard to the chief marketing officer. And taking note that your chief mandate marketing. Doesn't that enhance the staff satisfaction score? That's the first one. Now, very interesting, Chairperson. I served till the 13th of September into the public works portfolio. And one of our mandates when we went to Germany was that Turco wanted to sell off the old embassy that was in Bonn, and when the German people became democratic, they moved to Berlin. So that buildings were vacant since 1998. Now I see here, just for interest's sake, that assets were disposed. What kind of asset was? You said you reported last year about it. But I can't remember. I'm old. When it suits me. So can you tell me what kind of asset is that? And did you get permission from Treasury for disposing these assets? And if an asset of the people of South Africa is disposed, doesn't that money go back to Treasury as it belongs to the people of South Africa? Maybe she I'll
thank you, Chair, and good afternoon again to the teams. And I will recognize the presentation, but was it at a fast pace? It was almost rattled through, but I know people were chasing time as stipulated by the secretary, but it was fast. Coming to the presentation itself, I would like to know what are the causes of what is the nature of the overspending, and has this had any positive delivery expected? Like for instance, you have overspent in business events, as well as in corporate support. Number two, it has been quite a worrying thing to see that Your Excellence was actually pegged on the operations of consultants. but now it is quite a relief to find that, to note that you have a plan to reduce that dependency. Can you unpack this plan for year 2017-2018, financial year, so that we can applaud the savings gained, if any. With domestic tourism, no, we'll pass that. With the grading system, is there a place or a site where we can look at the new grading system that has been introduced, which is because now you've got the new grading system which you have adopted. I'm just wondering if it is submitted in the Tourism Amendment Bill for free but compulsory grading systems. Also, has there the recipients of the Lily Zeller Awards, has there been a follow up on the actual awardees as to whether they have benefited from winning the Lily Zeller Awards, or has their business improved because of the winnings or the gains from the Lily Zeller Awards? I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions. Following on the Lily Zeller Awards, so this awards recognizes people and businesses that make a special contribution, or people that have done a very successful startup of their enterprise, etc. But what is SAT doing to develop new skills or new entrants? I know that with your one board member present in the Dumini, that in Cape Town Tourism they've got a specific fund where they assist or promote new entrants, and they recognize the new entrants and they build capacity and skills amongst people joining or becoming part of the tourism value chain. Then the second question goes to domestic tourism. And I know that I've raised this during a previous meeting with SAT, where many of your advertisements and your marketing speaks to visiting places, but unknown places, because it showcases, and I've raised it not only on one occasion, I've raised it on many occasions, and I want to do so again, because a lot of the money that we use goes to consultants to develop these very expensive marketing material for us. So it showcases families sliding down sand dunes and jumping from tree tops and so on, but it doesn't really speak to specific destinations and showcasing to South Africans where they should go to experience what, because we know that tourism is based on experiences. People want to go and experience different things and so on. In the past you would promote your town, but we're long gone past that. We need to promote experiences. So although those advertisements and all the other marketing material that you've developed showcases, families visiting places, and I think that was part of the plan, because we wanted South Africans to experience their country. But again, I think we've moved on now. So I want to specifically see much more value for our money spent on the development of these very high quality advertisements speaking to places with specific experiences, so that we can get South Africans to go to visit these places which has specific unique offerings and so on. And then the last thing on domestic tourism is your conversion. So I know that from business we make a lot of money for conferencing venues and so on, but what are we doing to convert those travelers? And I know that we've got the delegate boosting program and so on in place, but maybe you can just speak to us specifically about your programs where you want to make sure that Congress delegates spend much more time in destination and spending much more time and money in that destination. So I think the conversion for me is going to be an important one, because you did make the point that although we are not meeting the targets on the five in five, but this now will push it up. But now, yeah, we can't just see it as a mechanism to push the figures up. But what are we doing to do the conversion then in that regard? And also visiting family and friends. I remember when this committee started, there was a shocking revelation that the number one reason why South Africans travel, yes, is for visiting friends and family, but if you drill deeper, it's for funerals. Mm-hmm. And it's just wrong. Absolutely wrong. And I think that's where we should start. So what is the conversion then from visiting friends and family to actually getting them, again, to spend more time in destination, money in destination? I know it's wrong to say that when you go to a funeral, you should go and do some bungee jumping, but that's something we should consider. So it's about the conversion for both visiting friends and family and the conversion for the Congress delegates. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence with me. I want to start with this slide. I asked about the staff satisfaction score that was all red, but I omitted the stakeholder satisfaction score. Why are the stakeholders not satisfied? And what are you doing to mitigate it? Because that is a very important component of tourism. Then, Chairperson, again, on slide 15, key issues that impact performance of this entity. Bullet number 4 says supply side constraints, insufficient accommodation options are being reported in high demand areas such as Cape Town and Kruger. Now, I want to know, does this include also the B&Bs in the Kalis? Are you sure about that? Because I think we have a lot of B&Bs in the townships that are underutilized. To couple that, Chairperson, the last bullet on that slide says the lack of quality foreign language tour guides in South Africa. Isn't this an international problem? And what are you going to do to mitigate this? I know about the Mandarin program, but isn't English the universal language? And what specific languages does tourists want? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, members. I also have a few questions that I would want the team from SAT to answer us on. Well, we understand, you know, my take, CEO, is that the annual performance is taking stock of everything that has happened throughout the year and under review in 2017-2018. Now, I thought, because we in your quarterly performance, you indicated the programs that were having problems, challenges, especially the grading. And I thought you were perhaps maybe going to give the quality assurance on the grading side to give us perhaps strategies on how they are mitigating and ensuring that they are revising the strategy so that grading can become a tool. You know, it because grading is linked to the quality assurance of the visitor experience, you know. There are many so much establishments that have our grading plugs on when you get into the establishment it's not so graded. We had a similar experience when we visited the Eastern Cape Mthatha most recently. We were in a 3-star, but when we got inside, that was not even a star, you know. Because in this session, we actually want to hear the program managers speak with regards to their own program. Well, I'm not saying it's wrong for you. You are the overarching person that would give us high-level things and also come in and intervene where you feel there is a need. But we want the managers, because you can't bring managers here just to answer questions only. We want the program managers to actually deliberate and tell us, because they are the ones that are accounting in terms of the programs that they are driving within SAT. And then the other one would also be the Conventions Bureau. You've indicated the fact that the Conventions Bureau has given revenues to the tune of about 2.2 billion, which means so far the 5 in 5 strategy is the main pillar that is bringing in the conventions. People that are coming in for conferencing and so on are the ones that are actually not ensuring that the 5 in 5 strategy is still alive. Without that component, I would think that we would be even worse off, because currently we see that we are not able to meet our target with regards to the 5 in 5 strategy. But because that program, that's such an important program, is actually the one that is bringing in the people converging into South Africa, especially international tourists, because you've mentioned the fact that there has been a down spiral on Swaziland, Mozambique, and Lesotho, perhaps even Zimbabwe for some kind. Well, I don't want to be controversial, but I want to say, as much as we know that those are international tourists coming to the country, but they are not bringing in so much revenue that the ones that are coming in the other markets are actually bringing in for us. Because I live very close to Mozambique, and I see for myself that, you know, people just come in to get their amenities and then go back to the country. It does actually boost local tourism, in the sense that Komati Port is alive, or Nelspruit is alive, because people from Mozambique actually shop in Nelspruit. No. Perhaps also you would also then tell us what are the strategies that moving forward to ensure that we ensure that there is much tourist arrivals in the country. Because I would think the issue of crime and things would not be an issue for those ones coming from the neighboring countries, although it is an issue. It's an issue for all of us in the country. It shouldn't be something that we just sweep underneath the carpet, but we should be speaking around it and ensuring that there are strategies to mitigate against such the negative perception of our country. And then I also want you to talk to us on the China strategy, because it's one thing that we've listened to you on quarterly performance to say Chinese and the Asian market traveled around the world, but in coming to South Africa, they were not favorable to us. Perhaps it would be that our country is not so friendly to them. You know, what are the strategies to mitigate against that? You know, perhaps are we ensuring that our airports also have these, you know, Chinese, they don't call it language, they call it signs, Chinese signs, yeah. Because, you know, it's also sort of like drawing, you know. But it's a language. So we've seen that the department is training people on Mandarin and translation and so on, but what are the various strategies that you are also bringing in? Because you are the chief marketer of South Africa, and a large portion, a tune of 1.4 billion, is transferred to SAT to drive the strategy, you know, to ensure that we become a competitive place, and then we become a destination of choice. And unfortunately, we are going to measure you on how many people you've brought into the country. It's well and good to say, you know, you are winning here, but if you are failing in your mandate to bring people into the country, to bring in the large number of tourist arrivals into the country, unfortunately, we measure you on that aspect, you know. That's the unfortunate part, because there is a lot of work that you are doing. We are also measuring you on strategies around domestic tourism, because we've seen that there were real funds to come in and assist in the domestic tourism space. But unfortunately, still there are issues in penetrating that market, and we understand that it has been always the response has been that people cannot travel because maybe they have less to spend, or maybe as we are saying, the petrol prices and all other things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we as the portfolio committee, because we share the very same sentiment. We haven't seen you actually speaking to more on destination marketing around the country, you know, to unleash the potential. But South Africa has so much potential, you know. But we are still struggling to get that message, When we see now there is some movement around that space, but it's still not enough. Perhaps what you need to rework the strategy to convince us, you know, that you are actually working on that space and ensuring that there is going to be some movement. But it's also something that we are going to measure you on, your performance on as the entity. You know, as I'm speaking to the entire entity now, we measure you based on ensuring that there is travel around the country, people are actually able to spend. Because it's not as if South Africans really do not have much to spend, but if the opportunities are not presented to them, you know, there are honorable members here who will have something to spend, you know. It's not that everybody, you know, it's not that the country is really doomed. There are people, there are executives, there are people in government who will do a short left somewhere. But if they do not see these advertisements, you know, they are not, our own country is not marketed in such a way that it becomes enticing for them to travel, then it becomes a problem. And then the last one, which I would pose to the board, although it's something which I would think it's going to be a bad post for them, you know, they would take it to their board meeting and go and deliberate on it, to say the portfolio committee has noted this. As we were looking to the financials, we've seen that, you know, the chief marketing officer, the salary remuneration perhaps is not competitive enough to get the right people to stay within the organization. Because if you look at this, that this person is the major person that has to market the country. And perhaps we are not getting the right person, because also the remuneration is not enticing enough for the person to stay there. They would come, but they would be pinched from elsewhere by other organizations very quickly. Perhaps in your board meeting you need to look at the chief marketing officer's remuneration to say, is it competitive? Benchmark it against other countries that are doing well to see what is their remuneration for their chief marketing officer, so that we can you can put a proposal that perhaps that the salary becomes competitive. And I would rest for now, and over to you. Take it as part cost. CEO, over to you.
Thank you, honourable members. Let me throw it to the team. Happy to jump in, and I'll try to sweep whatever's not answered.
Thank you, Madam Chair and CEO. Honourable Adams, I can assure you that we did obtain the board approval, minister's approval, and the treasury approval to dispose of the assets. The assets, the money does not have to go back to the treasury. What we have done, and we have agreed that the money will go. Done the right way in terms of the in terms of the service. If one go to page 138 of the some narrative how what we have done, and also we have used an independent valuator to value the the property, the value of the property, and also we have sold it for a higher price than it was valuated by the valuator. So the assurance is there that we did follow the right procedures in terms of the treasury. I think the second is for Honourable Bum. The over expenditure I have explained, and perhaps because we were a bit fast, let me, I can repeat that again if you want.